reap of the flesh, and what is of the flesh is corrupt. It is fallen. It is deadly. It is sin. And you reap the consequences of that. If you, for the past 20 years or 2 years or 15 years, have sown bad seed in your marriage, if you and your spouse choose today to get things right with God, do life His way, seek Him first in His kingdom, to trust Him in all your ways, not to lean on what you've known in the past, but acknowledge Him and follow what He desires to lead you and give you the wisdom to make wise choices, to bring glory to Him, to stay humble and meek and filled with His Spirit, filled with the Word of God, you are still, though you're living by faith, you're going to still reap bad seed in that marriage. You just need to recognize that that was seed that we sown a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, same way in your finances. That bad seed is going to continue to surface in your daily life. Bad seed that you sown on the job is still going to come up. The weeds are going to come up with the good seed at the same time. Now, here's the key. Eventually, the good seed is going to overtake the corrupted seed. If you start today sowing the right kind of seed, you'll reap the right kind of harvest in the areas that you sow in that right seed in. You'll still reap some bad consequences or some seed from the past. They'll manifest, but you need to recognize that. Acknowledge, okay, this is not from what we're doing now. This is from our past showing up. So we can know how to deal with that, and we not take it out on our spouse, not take it out on our children, not take it out on our coworkers, not take it out on our church and community and our pastors and teachers and friends. And not take it out on them, because this is the result of the past bad seeds showing up right now. I'ma sow seeds of righteousness, and eventually the harvest of mercy is gonna continue to outnumber and outweigh and overtake that bad seed over time, because I've been plucking it. I've been getting rid of it as it shows up. I'm not fighting against people and against flesh and blood. I see that as a stronghold. I see that as a lie. I see that as bad seed. We'll deal with it as it surfaces, as it grows, but we're going to trust Jesus and do what He asked us to do. You know how many people give up because they want to get right with God today and tomorrow? Things don't change much in their life. They still seeing the consequences of years upon years of corrupt sowing. Serving Jesus is a lifetime investment. You've given your life to Him from now on and forever. You see, Jonah is reaping the corrupt seed in his life, and he's not even recognizing it's controlling him. It's tossing him like the wind does the waves. He's unstable. One minute he's grateful, the next minute he's wanting to die. And all the while, that bad seed of doing life his way is manifest. He thought he had the right. He legitimately thought he had the right to be angry. You see, that's what this bad seed does. This bad seed says not only do you have the right, but you deserve to be angry. This bad seed says not only do you have the right, but you deserve to be treated better. Not only does this bad seed say you have the right, but you deserve to have certain things in your life. That's what that bad seed does. And when it's not there available to you, you in a quandary. You're upset. You in turmoil. You're troubled. And a troubled person is a defensive person and an angry person and lashes out against people. And that's exactly where Jonah was at. But a approachable, humble, meek person who can recognize that is surfacing from my past. God has invited me to walk with Him and to be a servant of His. I don't have the rights to nothing. I've died with Jesus. I was buried in the grave with Him. I've been resurrected to new life. Dead men don't have rights. He's taken my rights. He owns me. He is my master. He is my Lord, my Redeemer, my Shepherd. I just follow His voice, and He can bring in my life whatever He chooses. He can take away whatever He chooses. He can do with me whatever He chooses. I am at His mercy. You know, when Jonah sat outside that city and had him a pity party, unlike Noah, who jumped on that ark, built what God asked him to build, do as God commanded him to do, you know, when he stepped into that ark and God sealed that door, he and only his family and those creatures that God brought and preserved upon that ark. You know why it's referred to as an ark? Because an ark doesn't have a sail, doesn't have a rudder, and it didn't have an anchor. Those three things are how a ship controls its direction in the water. Noah didn't have any. You know what Noah was when he stepped into that ark? He was at the utter, complete mercy of God in the midst of the worst tragedy that this world has ever known. This rain that came upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and the heavens opened up and the fountains of the deep and the ground opened up, and the rushing mighty water, the floods that have gone across America in the last week or so that have taken lives and taken property and taken things and just destroyed areas. Can you imagine a worldwide flood? And you know how raging water is and how it's totally controls whatever is in its path? Well, here's Noah in a vessel that he has no control over. He had to be at the mercy of God, and God take it wherever He wanted. That is a man who's living and walking by faith. But a man living and walking by his flesh because of seed that had been sown and the previous was manipulating and controlling him, he is up and down, and feels like they have the right or the say, and their say is of more value than God's say. Mm-mm. I encourage you. I encourage you, my friend, to submit your rights, submit your results, and give your rewards over to Jesus. Let Him have your life. And the difference He will make in you will be the difference between Noah and Jonah. That old harmless, yet not helpful, but one who was not hopeless in this life, who wanted things his way. Where Noah was a man who followed the lead of God, trusted what He gave him, built what He said, and lived at His mercy. A man living by faith. I encourage you. May the Lord use you to be a difference maker. Over the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 14, Paul encouraged the brethren. He said, I exhort you, brethren, to warn the unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, and support the weak. Be patient with all. I don't know if you or harmless, or if you're helpful, or if you're not hopeless without God in this life. But I want to tell you, God's got something for you to do. He wants you to go and warn, exhort, warn, put in the mind of the unruly, those who are out of order. He encourages us to go comfort those who are under the weight of a trial, who need a comforting hand, who need somebody to walk alongside them, and then hold back those who are taken with temptation and be patient with them all. There's something God has for us to do. And either I'm gathering with Him or I am scattering those apart from Him. We'll pick up Jonah again, and I pray that these things will continue to be a blessing to you. Come visit us at truthimpacts.com.